He knows our every need. He supplies our every need. He never leaves us, never forsakes us. And he's faithful when we're not. I love that part. I love knowing that whenever I am hard-headed like I am most of the time, not always doing things perfect the way he would have it done, he's still faithful, no matter what. Well, Memorial Day, what a day that is. Think about all those people, men and women of our nation, throughout our history, that have given their all for us to have the freedom. Amen? God created a great country here where the people honored him and followed him. Our Constitution is based on him and the truth of his word. And of course, now you know we're in a battle to keep it that way. I don't know what God's plan is because he didn't call me and ask me or talk to me about it. He just determined his plan. And so I pray, and I hope you guys are praying, that for the freedom that has been fought and won for us, that God will hold that for us and keep that for us so that we can always be able to honor him. I do have one little thing I need to do before we get started in our message. And we've got a young man who is not so young anymore. He's older now. Matter of fact, he's graduating from high school. I remember when he was born. Amen. Well, I'm going to remember before he was born. So, Josh, if you would come up here, buddy. I know you're not embarrassed to come up here in front of everybody. I'm going to bring you up here so that everybody can see you out there in, what do you say, radio land or something like that. I tell you, Josh, I've had the most difficulty in finding you a Bible that I wanted you to have, all right? They used to be everywhere, but they're not anymore. So I searched, for 2 weeks before I found the one that I wanted, all right? So we want to present you with the only education that will ever count, all right? You've worked hard in school, and I know you made you didn't do like me, made some zeros. The zeros you made was after the one, zero, zero. So I know that you've worked hard and you've done very well in school. But the only thing that will bring you happiness, peace, and eternal life is this little book right here. No matter what the math says, I know the teachers were tough on that, right? But Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, they are they which testify of me. So you take this Bible, it's a nice study Bible, and I want you to take this Bible and don't leave it in the car. Put it in your heart, all right? And so let's say congratulations to Josh. Take one there. I remember holding him when he was just born. I'm not going to hold him this morning to show you that I can. But anyway, congratulations, buddy. I really have had a time trying to find a Bible that I wanted him to have. They're hard to find now. Christian bookstores are rare as hen's teeth. And so I've had some trouble finding that, but it's a nice study Bible. And, matter of fact, all of us need a good study Bible, don't we? All of us do. Well, I want to talk to you this morning about all the things that are going on. You want me to sit down and do a news report for you? Well, let me just tell you, he's coming back. No doubt about it, he's coming back. Things are being stirred. I tell you, the scriptures are being fulfilled. I'm not saying he's coming back tonight, but he could. Matter of fact, that's the one thing about him. We don't have to see anything. Matter of fact, he can come at any moment. The question is whether we're ready for him or not. Whether we're ready for his kingdom to rise with him. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about building up. But I'm not talking about building us up because he's built us up all we need to be built up as far as our salvation. We know that he's done every single thing that was possible to do. And that is he came into this world as a baby in a feed trough they laid him. wrapped him in cloth that they wrapped the little lambs in. He walked on this earth without a single sin. The Bible says there was no guile found in him at all. And he came to be a man to show us the Father. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, because we're one. So if you're looking for who the Father is, look at me. Look at me and you'll see the Father. Willingly, he went to the cross. He's done everything possible that can be done to build his church. And we are a part of that church. Not only us, but everyone who believes that Jesus Christ came into this world, died for our sins on the cross of Calvary, was buried, and rose again. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. He said, just as the serpent was lifted into the wilderness, so as the Son of Man is lifted up, whoever looks upon him will have life. Just that simple. It's so simple that we miss it most of the time. We've been a part of that kingdom for a long time now, at least in our age, but certainly not in his measuring of time, because he don't measure time. He's not caught up in time, we are. But this morning I want to talk to you about building up. But I want to talk to you about not building up ourselves so much as to build up his kingdom. That's what we want to do. And how do we do that? How do we human beings build his kingdom? So let's stand and read a few words out of the book of Acts, chapter 14. I'm going to read a few verses here. Everybody there? Don't trust me to read it. You guys follow me. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Luke writes these words. And there sat a certain man in Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak so steadfastly, beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and he began to walk. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in speech of Lyconia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter. And Paul, Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gate and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostle Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they rent their clothes. And they ran among the people, crying out, saying, sirs, why do you do these things? We are also men of passion with you. And preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain, heaven, fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these things, scarce restrain they the people. And they had not done sacrifice unto them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We are grateful that it has been forever settled in heaven. No one can take away one iota from the word of God. Not one dot, not one strike, not one single thing can we take away. You have chosen to save this book for us, for the church, so that we might know you. You have protected it over time. So I pray this morning, Lord, that you'd open up our hearts and our minds so that as we bring the message, Lord, that we might hear from heaven. I pray you'd anoint me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. Lord, I pray this morning that you would intervene. I'm not worthy of standing here bringing this message. So I need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. May you speak through me. Use me. These old lips of clay, I pray you'd use me to say the things that you would have said. Guard my lips as well, that I wouldn't say anything that I shouldn't say. And Lord, I pray that the lights of heaven would shine in our hearts. I pray the saints of God would be lifted up, would be stirred this morning to be a part of your kingdom. Stir us, Lord, that we might work together to be what you would have us to be, to do the mission that you've given the church. And Lord, I pray if there's one here lost and undone, speak to that heart, Lord. Call that individual that they might enjoy the peace that passes all understanding. That is the peace of God. And Lord, we give you honor for all these things. In his precious name, we pray. Amen. You can be seated. You know, it's exciting. I remember when I first got saved, when I first realized that I needed forgiveness of sin. I remember that as if it was yesterday. I remember everything about that moment. I remember what the preacher preached 40-some years ago. I remember where he come from. I remember what he said. It is as if it was burned into my mind and my heart, and it was. What a difference I experienced. So this morning, what I want us to understand is that God has done something special for us. He's gave himself so that we might have life, so that if we would believe, he would come and live within us, the Holy Spirit of God, and dwell within us. And the Bible said that he would never, ever leave us. But he's got work for the church. You heard me say this last week. If all he wanted was to save, when we got saved, he'd carry us home. But he saves us. And he's called us to a work. He's called us to a building program, if you would. He's called us to a heart that has a heart for other people. That's what he's called us to. He called the church in Matthew 28, 19, and 20 that the church was to go out, not come in, but go out and reach the community, sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do it all that is around you, around where you live. And then he says, go a little further, go out to Judea. You know, go on out as far as you can spread. And as you're going, always carry the gospel. I know when we see in Acts and we begin to read Acts, we'll find out that the church was just stuck in Jerusalem. Didn't want to go anywhere. Well, God caused some actions to happen where the church had to spread out. And as they went, they carried the gospel. That's what God wants us to do. See, he don't have to do anything. He don't owe us one thing. Matter of fact, just the thought that he knows us and cares about us, knows even the number of hairs on their head, and mine is falling out rapidly. So I'm getting less and less. You don't have to count so high with me. But he is given to us because he knows us. And with him, the Bible says, we can do all things in Christ. Nothing is impossible for us as believers. So see, we can take and we can run as hard as we can towards the evil and sin of the world, and we can address it. We can stand up and we can fight against it. We can warn against it. I tell you, there's some things that the people need to be warned about. But you know, now things are beginning to lighten up a little. Do you feel the load lift now? We've been under a burden, haven't we, for a year and a half? But I feel lighter today than I have in a long time. So that tells me we're going to have to quit hiding behind the I can't. And we're going to step out with him because he can. Amen? How do we do that? How do we help work in the kingdom? Well, he's called us, every one of us. If we've been born of God, I'm telling you, no one is exempt from this. This is not what I would choose this as part of my Christian work. No, that ain't what God says. He said that when the Holy Spirit come upon us, he said, you will be witnesses. Didn't say you could be. Didn't say you ought to be. He said, you will be. You know why? Because someone is always looking. I heard someone say this week. I think it was this week. Might have been last week. But they said, you know, so-and-so is looking at him. And I thought to myself, even the children have somebody watching them. You know? The older children have the younger children looking to them. How do I act as a teen? How do I act as a child towards the Lord? And this world is pulling us so hard away from him and confusing us. See, these minds can be confused. And God has called us to do some things. The Bible says that unless God builds the house, they that labor, labor in vain. I want God to build the house. And I'm not talking about a building. I'm talking about the house of God. The one they were just singing about, the Father who is a good, good Father. And I want him to build his kingdom, and I want his church to rise up and understand the joy and the glory and the fun that we can have within the kingdom. We don't have to go outside the kingdom to have fun. I tried having fun before I come to know him. I tried and tried and tried, and I tried everything you could think of. But when he come into our life, things changed. So what do we do? Acts 14:21 said that when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again. Listen, there's a work out there to do. And as long as we live, we will never, ever get away from that work. There's opportunities everywhere. How do we do that? Well, to begin with, we want to do that by obeying him. We want to do that because through evangelism, his kingdom is built. Did you know that the Bible says that it's through this word just gets me. It is through the foolishness of preaching that God saves the lost. It's when some crazy person like me ain't got no better sense but to believe the book and stand up and proclaim his word, the word of God, that God will take by the Holy Spirit and he will begin to work in a person's life. And he'll begin to draw them. He'll begin to open their eyes. I can see now, back before I ever said yes, that I believe the gospel, before I ever said that, I can see times when God was actually drawing me. Things he was doing in my life. And when I come to know him, I realized that's what was going on. So we need evangelism. We need to learn how to share the gospel. We need to learn that that is our responsibility. Now, it's good. I love church. I used to say we don't just buy all these apartments and everybody move in an apartment out here. We just be here all the time. But then I think that'd be a hippie commune, you know. Now, I thought about those things when I was about 17, but today I don't think about that. But I love being with God's people. I love just being with God's people, to talk about him, to sing about him, just to reminisce about what he's done in our life. I love that. And in that thought comes evangelism. Now, how do we do that? Well, hopefully you know him. It's done by personal work. We can't depend on anyone else to do it. Oh, it's a corporate job. It's a corporate job that takes the church because the church is the body of Christ. The church is the ears. The church is the eyes. The church is the mouth. The church is the feet, the hands, and all that there is of Christ. And he uses the church. Now, who's the church? Who's the church? Jesus said the church is just simple. It's not everybody that goes to church. Everybody that goes to church is not part of the church. He said the church was those who keep my commandments. That's what he said. God is a fiery God, a God of judgment, of God of love, of compassion. But he wants his church to rise up and be what we should be. I know we've been limited on what we can do, but listen, God can set us free even under any kind of bondage. Matter of fact, we'll be free if we don't do anything, make any progress. See, God's not going to count how many people that we won to him. So you can go all your life and never win a single person to him. And if you didn't win anybody, that's not going to count against you. But what will count against us is how many we shared it with. Because, see, we can't save anybody. Only he can do that. So it don't matter what we... I remember my dad telling me when I went in sales back years ago. He said, son, you just keep on. He said, because whenever you get out there, you're going to find out everybody's not going to buy. So if somebody refuses, don't let it upset you. You just turn right around, walk out, and go somewhere else. If they do, if you turn you down there, just go somewhere else. He said, because somebody will buy if you just be persistent. Jesus told his disciples that not everyone's going to believe. But I love this part here. He said, but some will. Everybody's not going to believe, but some will believe. And they'll believe because God opens their heart. And I'm not talking about the one that pumps blood. I'm talking about the inner man, that man that had died in Adam. And the Holy Spirit will quicken that body and quicken that soul and quicken that inner man. And we will realize that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we just need to share it. How do we share it? Well, it's sort of funny how we do those things. I was told by a well-known Christian, I guess he was a speaker, that because I'd been saved, so let me tell you a story. We went to this conference. The guy that led the conference name was Bill Fay. His dad was the bird's eye frozen foods guy who invented all that. This guy grew up, silver spoon in his mouth, had everything he could ever desire. He grew up and got in the wrong business. He started brothels. He started gambling. And he come to know the Lord. And he began to share the gospel. And he began to win so many people to the Lord. He comes up with this program called Sharing Jesus Without Fear. I know many of you might have heard of it. Might have even gone through that program. So me and Billy Taylor was sitting in this conference with hundreds of people in there. And Bill Fay asked a question. He just said, why does people not share the gospel? Why do you not share the gospel, he said. Well, nobody would raise their hand. I was the only one in there. So I thought to myself, ain't nobody going to answer that one. So I'm going to be polite and I'm going to answer that for him. And I said, well, because it certainly wasn't me, because I've never had an issue sharing my faith. I said, well, it's because they don't think they know enough. And he said, well, how long have you been saved? How long have you been reading the Bible? At that time, I don't know, it was 18, 19 years. And I told him what it was. And he said, that's your problem right there. You've been saved all those years and taken all that scripture, all that gospel in without sharing it, and you've become constipated on the gospel. Yes. Yes. I said, I won't never answer another question for him. But listen, people are afraid to share the gospel because they don't know. But the question is, why? Why don't we know? If we know him, we certainly ought to be able to take the Bible and say, here's what God says about being saved. And listen to me. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus said, how in the world am I going to do that? I'm a grown man. You ever thought about that? How in the world can we be born again? Well, he said it was from above. And listen, and the way that people are born again is when somebody like us either stands before a pulpit, before people, and proclaims the Word of God, or whether we sit down privately with a friend and say, let me tell you what Jesus has done in my life. People's looking for an answer, especially in the day we're living in. And the church needs to rise up because we are his mouthpiece. Everybody, we say, it ought to be evangelism that we live daily. Our lives should shine Jesus. Our fragrance should smell like Jesus. We should be little Jesuses running everywhere. But the Word of God has the power to change a life. And so that's what we need. We need people that will stand up and say, I'll carry the message. That's what we need. 1 Corinthians 9:6 says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory in of, for necessity is laid upon me, but woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And that was not just for a preacher, because you are preachers. That word is a word, is a person who heralds the truth. So you are as important as anyone in the kingdom. Now, God can do anything. God could open up the heavens and write his name up there and just say, come. He could do that. He spoke through Balaam's mule. I had a big old yellow dog that he could have spoke through, but he didn't call the dog, he called me. He could have sent the angels every day to proclaim his word, but he didn't. He chose the church. He chose you, and he chose me. So we do this by evangelism. Just share the gospel. You don't have to have a degree. You just have to know him. Amen? You don't have to go through some program to learn how to do it. All you need is him. Because I guarantee you, just as he told his disciples, he would give us the words to say. I've been in situations and wondered, how in the world did you know what to say? I'd say, I didn't. I didn't know what to say. And God just filled my mind with truth. He'll do that for you too. Then another thing is exhortation. And that's a simple thing. We need to, it's calling someone along beside us. That's what that is. In other words, we come beside someone else as a partner. And we lift them up, exalt them, encourage them, speak good things into their life. You know, we need to stop speaking things that is not good. The Bible says, you know, there's some things we need to think on, and there's some things that we don't need to consider. We need to think on those things that are good. Because when we live in a time whenever there's so much going on around us, and fear, anxieties, and things attacking us every day, I'm telling you, we need to exhort one another. We need to call one another, say, how's your day going? I'm here for you. Do you need any help? We need to be active in doing those things. Paul said, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. See, that should be us. We should be pressing towards everything because God has called us to a high calling. And that word there, press, you know what it means? It shows a picture of someone putting their shoulder against the big old boulder and putting all their energy into it to move it. I'm pressing on. And that's what God wants us to do. Because, see, it would be mighty easy to give up. I could sit back in that nice recliner, like I said before, get me a big gulp drink, get me a little Debbie cake. I'm going to be happy as a lark, you know? But that's not what God called me to do. He gave me that pleasure, but that's not what he called me to do. God's called me to be an encourager. God's called me to care about his people. See, I'm just an under shepherd of his sheep. He's allowed me. I don't know why he did. As sorry as I was, I don't know why nor he ever called me in the ministry. I would have been better off out yonder, somewhere else. But I could not get away from that call. So my job is, as a pastor, is to teach you and to preach the word of God to you and not water it down with anything. Oh, there's enough watering down in the world today. All you got to do is just listen, and you'll hear the scriptures watered down. I heard some of it last week. That's not what he's called us to do. He's called us to take his word, since it's forever settled in heaven, and to preach it with a passion for his people and in obedience to him. We are not to offend people. We are to love people. We are to care about people, and I mean all people. I don't care whether we like the way they look or the way they think, even the way they talk. We are to love them and never, ever allow the thoughts and the condemnation of this world to reach into us to where we do not exhort one another. We need to do that and make sure that we do it. Old Billy, he called me last week. We talked for probably an hour. And he said, you know, sometimes I say some stuff from the pulpit. And I think that's Damon Lee. He said, I find myself saying some of the same stuff you said. I said, well, you sure did learn a lot, didn't you? But exhortation is something that's easy to do. We need to honor him. And we need to lift up one another in a very special way. We need to be focused on what God would have us to do. We need to edify one another. Say good things about one another. Love one another. Edify just simply means to build them up. Build up. We need to learn from each other. See, because people have different experiences that God can take and use it through you because you've experienced it. And then you can take what you've experienced and how God worked in you during that time, and you can share it with others. That's a simple thing, isn't it? Simple. All we have to do is be obedient to him and make sure that we lift people up. Make sure that we honor God. And the last thing I want to share with you about what it takes is fellowship. Now, I've been hearing a lot about that here lately. I've heard such things as s'mores, hot dogs, games. Used to on Sunday night, we had what we called fat dogs. Then they turned into hot dogs. Fellowship is so important. Because without fellowship, how are we going to learn one another? If we will fellowship together, sit down and eat together, talk together, play together, work together, I guarantee you we will grow close as we ever have been with a brother or sister. God wants us to fellowship. Matter of fact, we've been going through a study now for about 4 years, it seems like, on a Wednesday night, on the book of 1 John. And we find in there that God says that we are to fellowship one with another. And he says we are to walk in the light, which is Christ. And as he walks in the light, we're to do the same thing. Fellowship. That's what that whole book is about. And so we need to learn to fellowship. I'm so glad this mess is getting over with. I'm so glad we don't have to stay 6 feet apart and a rag tied around our head. You know what I mean? It's time that we shared together time. Amen? Listen, I've done and booked a place for the Christmas dinner already. It's already locked down. Move out together. Build up together. Now, do I have all the answers? No. That's one, I mean, she's been with me for 47, 49 years. And she knows I don't have all the answers. Matter of fact, most of the time I have very few of them. But I'm not somebody that just tries to do everything myself, because I count on you guys. I count on you guys. Because God don't just speak to me, he speaks to his people. Amen? See, he called Moses, he called Aaron, but they both had different perspectives and jobs to do. Just like he does you and me. We all have different talents, different things. God has gifted us where we can do the things that build the kingdom. And I hope today that we move forward with kingdom work for his glory, our sanity, and someone's soul. Let's pray. Father, we do love you. We're thankful for this day you've blessed us with. We ask you, Lord, to help us this morning transition from where we've been for a year and a half, that we might come back together, that we might enjoy each other's fellowship. May we eat and share together. May we play together. May we work together, that you would be glorified. So, Lord, we give this moment to you. I pray that you would lead us to do what you would have us to do in your kingdom, for your glory and for your honor. Have your way, Lord, in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing, Fred's going to come lead us on the song. He's right here behind me. He's going to lead us in a song. The altar's going to be open if you would like to come to the altar and pray. I pray that we all would pray together and ask God to mend us together.